the thing is, a lot of countries aren't very well educated on the subject of tobacco, right? It's not just the big brands that have a quality cigar. Most of the time, big brands have less quality cigars than little cigar companies because of the demand. So the small companies like myself, we pay a lot of attention to the details, small details. It's very easy for the details to escape a big company.
Welcome to the B2B Breakthrough Podcast. We're here to bring you all the best knowledge, insights, and strategies from e-commerce experts, successful business owners, and the team at Alibaba.com that you'll need to grow your business and achieve your next big breakthrough. I'm your host, Sharon Guy. Fredelin Espinal is a distinguished entrepreneur and CEO with deep roots in the tobacco industry, primarily through his leadership at Espinal Puro, LLC, and Hanley Cigar Company. Since founding Espinal Puro in 2019, Fred has dedicated himself to crafting premium cigars that not only reflect his Dominican heritage, but also celebrate and unite the Latino community in New Jersey and beyond. His expertise spans across tobacco, product manufacturing, importing, and exporting, with a strong focus on maintaining cultural integrity and building intergenerational brand appeal. I'm so excited to dig into your story from all different types of angles. Welcome to our show, Fredelin.
Thank you. I am very grateful to be here. You seem like you've been in this and you enjoy this as much as I enjoy what I do for my company.
I think my life has been a huge serendipitous journey of connecting dots of different cultures and different worlds. And then in the podcasting space, it's connecting with individuals like yourself with really interesting stories.
I can relate a lot to your story, right? I just fell in love with the style of the business. I could sit down with a person that could be a lot wealthier than I am, and we find a common ground through a cigar. You know, I could be sitting down with a person that's a lot older than me and find common ground. I could find someone that's younger than me. And it doesn't really matter where you come from. And we don't judge each other. It doesn't matter. It's just, we just here to smoke a cigar. And that's what I really like about it. The Alibaba comes in, right? And gives you that security where if you're not satisfied with your product, you're going to get it. You're going to get your refund or, you know, whatever it is, they try to make it right. And I've had a few instances where that's happened and it's worked out very well. So, you know, for platforms like that, you know, to have that is great. I created my own cigar company in Dominican Republic.
If we can take a couple steps back and go into how you got there.
I started my business with no experience. I've had a lot of struggles. I still have a lot of struggles, right, with the industry, especially when you have to deal with people on the other side. And this is the scare of people that are starting new, right? Oh, what about if I don't make it? Oh, what about if this happens, right? What about if I send some money to somebody and they don't do what I'm asking them to do, right? No one that I know of has been in tobacco business at all. So I am the first generation. I've heard that they used to cultivate tobacco, you know, in the mountains or in, you know, in the valley where I come from. But other than that, they've never really took it anywhere. I started this with no prior experience or anybody in the family that has been in the business. I had $500 in the bank, just bought my house. And I'm like, you know what? It's time for me to open something for myself, do something for myself. And this was back in April of 2019. So I called the guy that does the USTM, the trademarks, right? And this is in June of 2019. He goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, hey, my name is Fred, and you know, I want to trademark a business. And he's like, okay, what's the name of the business? I'm like, Espinal Puro. He's like, you've been in business how long? And I'm like, I just started. He's like, you started 2 years ago, 3 years ago? And I'm like, no, I started in April. He's like, oh, because businesses usually wait 2 to 3 years until they're doing good for them to trademark their business. So, you know, I just went with it.
But like, how did you get to the idea, though? Like, out of everything that you've ever, you know, come under your wing, why cigars?
I used to smoke cigars once in a while. I wasn't like a smoker like all the time, right? So, like I said, the style attracted me. The business attracted me because I wanted to be around people that had the same, you know, like the style, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. You're most likely never see somebody come picking out a fight, you know, out of somewhere like a cigar lounge or something like that. People just don't go to cigar lounge to be loud, to relax. That's what I like about it. So that's what attracted me to it.
Oh, okay. I had thought that because of your roots from DR, that, because DR also produces a lot of cigars too.
The Dominican Republic is the world capital of tobacco. That's what they call it. I didn't know one person that was in the tobacco when I started.
Okay, so then you patented your company or the brand. And then what were your steps after that? Like, did you go into the site building, product selection?
So the website product selection, so I had $500. It was $354, the registration of the company with the state and all that, right? And then $150 bought me 80 cigars. I used to cut the bands of the cigars, which the bands, with scissors when I first started. And originally the brand was going to be called EP. And then we're only going to have a crown on top of the E. The rooster it's a cultural thing. The rooster has a crown on top.
What's the symbolic meaning behind that?
So the rooster represents the culture, Latin culture. I mean, it's everybody likes rooster. You see cockfights all the time. And it's a chicken that's everywhere, right? It's in the whole world. So the crown means that it's a royalty. It's a different standard.
It's a royal chicken.
Right. It's a royal chicken. Our company, or the way that we handle everything, is just a little different. It's a little different upper level. And the shield means we're not easily influenced. And then Espinal is my last name. And then Puro means pure. I'm Espinal and I'm pure.
I guess like integrus, you stand to your own values.
Yes, I do.
Where did you buy your first batch of product?
My first batch was 80 cigars. So obviously with that amount, nobody can really take you serious, because if you don't do at least a minimum of 1,000 cigars, nobody's really going to touch you. Nobody's really going to pay attention to you. But this came from a cousin of my wife's. The second batch that I wanted from him was like 200 something cigars, and he didn't really take me into consideration, or you know, I never got the 200 cigars.
Is he in DR, or are these DR made?
He's in the Dominican Republic, yes. Right now, I'm doing Nicaraguan cigars also. We got connected with a factory out there. But for my beginnings, everything is from the Dominican Republic. And we connected with another factory, and they started doing our cigars. And eventually, they started sending my cigars not the way that I asked them to, or not the way that I expected to.
How do you ask factories to create your product?
We go through like a process of selecting, right? Of, you know, what I'm looking for in a cigar. If I want a cigar that's strong, if I want a cigar that's a little bit lighter, or what wrapper I want. So, right, we'll go through that process of selecting what we want inside the cigar. You know, most people obviously don't know. They'll just tell you, hey, I want a cigar that's strong. I want a cigar that has aroma. I want a cigar that has a Maduro wrapper. This is a Habano wrapper, by the way. This is the little lighter wrapper. So, you know, there's a little process. I ask questions.
How do you know even what to ask for? Like, is this from what your customers are telling you because they want a stronger flavor or lighter? Or like, how are you choosing that?
Good question. So when I started with three cigars. I started with a Connecticut, which is a lighter cigar. I started with an Habano, kind of like this. And then I started with a Maduro. So the Connecticut being lighter, the Habano being a medium, and then the Maduro being a stronger cigar. I wanted to have those three clients, right? Those clients that wanted the smooth, right? So that's how I started. Now, people have their own niche, and they might not have an idea of, say, what filler they want in it or what blend they want in the cigar, but they'll have an idea how strong they want it. They'll have an idea of what wrapper they want. I'm like, okay, so we'll make something for you based on that. And that's how I started it. I wanted to make sure that I made it into that, like kind of like a phone bar, right? Like a signal bar on a phone, from the lightest to the strongest.
Can I equate this to like coffee so that it's, you know, easier for people that are non-cigar smokers to understand maybe?
Yes.
Where like a stronger...
And wine.
Yeah, or even wine, I guess. The stronger one is just more aromatic. And is it more potent in terms of just like effects of smoking?
Well, nicotine. It's the stronger nicotine.
Yeah, stronger nicotine. Okay, I see.
So, you know, you have Seco. Seco is lighter nicotine. You have Viso. Viso is... So I would have to show you like on the plant where this comes from. Some like Ligero comes at the top of the plant. Viso comes from the more of the middle of the plant. And then the cycle comes from the bottom of the plant. So the more sunlight it gets, the stronger it is, the stronger the tobacco. We do this a lot in our shows, we do rolling shows all the time.
Like a live stream kind of thing?
Not really like a live stream, like a designated area where we're going to be at, like say a restaurant or something like that. So more of a public place. So we have a roller rolling in person, you know, I'll give you this, you know, not in a cigar. I'll give it to you in the actual leaf. obviously unrolled and here, touch this, smell it, you know, if you want to bite it, whatever.
Like a cigar flight, like, well, you know, when they give you like a whiskey flight.
Exactly.
Okay. So going back to your story, though, so you did the patent and then you got the first batch and then you built your website and you just started selling online. With what kind of launch? Like, how did people know about what you were doing?
So remember the pandemic entered right in 2020. So my idea, thank the Lord, I started thinking a little bit outside the box. So we have DJs now home. We have artists home now, right? So I started connecting with some famous DJs. I started sending them cigars. I started thinking outside the box, doing stuff like this.
You're approaching them cold. Like, you basically would know an artist or somebody famous and be like, I think this person might like cigars. And then you just craft the message and then send them the product.
I got in contact with one DJ from La Mega here in New York, right? Which is the biggest radio station probably in the world. And I just started filtering through. How can I get in contact with this guy? How can I get in contact with this guy? So, you know, I started making a lot of these things, like the custom-made stuff for these guys. And you know, give them a couple gifts. So they're smoking in the lives now. Now they're mentioning me. Now I'm sponsoring lives because now they're gifting some stuff. And, you know, and I started doing that. And I started putting some billboards up and started doing events. If we're out in the summertime and you know, you can go do events of whatever you do. It doesn't matter if you do cigars or whatever it is. Go try to do some events out. Talk to the township. So that's what I did. I tried to get brand awareness on Instagram too. Instagram works very well. And that's just it. I just started getting with influencers and said artists in their, you know, had cigars in their hand and they had Espinal Puro in their hands.
Do you think that's the sort of main way that's built up the success that you've had?
I'd say, well, other than obviously me looking out for my product, because it doesn't matter how much marketing you do. If your product sucks, it's not going to get very far. So it doesn't really matter what type of marketing you do if the product doesn't back it up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What did you do to your product that made it stand out?
I started being there. So at the beginning, I told you I had a guy, family. I moved on to another factory, which they started not doing the stuff how I asked. And then I started my own thing. I'm in the factory once or twice a month. I'm looking at the stuff. I send people to say, hey, go check this out for me. Go look at this. Give me a feedback. Give me a report back. So you just got to be hands-on. You just got to be there. You know, you have to have a panel of smokers that, you know, that have a really fine palate because, you know, in cigars, you can pick up certain notes like cocoa. Or you'll pick up like a coffee note. You'll pick up like a pepper note. So you have to have people that are there for you when you need them to say, hey, taste this. Right now, I just got a shipment of tobacco from Nicaragua. I got to sit down now and see what notes I get, see if my clientele is going to like that. You know, because I do stories now, right? So I have a comic. I have a cigar comic where I started out with called Chicken Legs.
It rolls with the theme.
So now I came out with, after Chicken Legs, I came out with Chicken Choker.
Where do you sell the comic? Or like, how do you bring that to your customers?
It's a cigar. So when I send a cigar out, it'll come with a sticker on it.
Oh, it's part of the packaging. Oh, I see.
It's like a whole comic.
It's a whole story.
So I spoke to the guys about it, and they're obviously the whole idea is for people to laugh when they look at it. You know, and then obviously a laughter causes an attraction. So, and that's how I attract people with that. Other than these cigars, these are my traditional cigars. When you see this band, it's more of my traditional stuff. There's not a limited edition to these.
Who are your customers?
A lot of women smoke my cigars. So I have to have a light cigar. For example, yourself, you might be like, I never smoked a cigar before.
I've tried one. From the Cuba trip. And Cuba is like a big cigar country. And I was definitely asked by many friends after they knew that I was going to Cuba to help bring back stuff for them. Guy friends. I've tried it, yeah.
So how was the experience?
I mean, we went to a cigar factory and it was like a touristic type of experience.
Well, say you come around me, I'm gonna be like, hey, you know, Sharon, I got a light cigar for you. And with that light cigar, how I do it to attract the women to smoke my cigars is like, so what do you like? You like grapes? Like, yeah, okay. So buy yourself some green grapes. While you're smoking it, pop some grapes in your mouth. So kind of like get used to that way.
But your positioning is like for women on a Friday night, it's like a relaxation type of thing to maybe buy with like a bottle of wine.
Exactly. And then, you know, like to answer your question, you have a lot of diverse clientele. There's certain things that we do to attract people that are younger and people that are older, for example.
Okay. It's like a Spinel party.
It's a lifestyle.
Okay.
So we convert the business into a lifestyle.
How do you know what type of accessories to get or to add to your portfolio?
So, for example, like you see, there's a trend in crossbody bags, right? The Louis Vuitton's crossbody bags and like the Gucci. And I'm like, all right, let's turn that into cigars somehow. There's a movement right now for guns in the States, right? For weapons and stuff. Okay, let's do a tactical one where it fits gun and this fits, you know, cigars in there. That way it's more like military grade. Let's do that.
So being sort of cognizant of the current trend and then tying your own product or brand to it.
Right, which the industry never had before.
Yeah, I mean, what does the cigar industry look like in broad strokes? Like, who's the biggest player in this space?
Well, you mean like brand-wise, you mean, or consumer?
Or how it's sold, because I know this site called cigars.com. Like, are they the largest seller of cigars? Is that where most people would go? Is that like the Walmart of cigar consumption?
Cigars International, cigars, you have different ones. You have Cigars International, you have Famous Cigars, you have different ones that, you know, they sell cigars at online. You have JR Cigars. There's just different platforms now. There's a lot of, like I said, the demographics has expanded than just like, you know, a middle-aged man with a little hat with a, you know, a little mustache and, you know, walking down the street with a cane or something like that. You know, it's expanded a lot now, you know. We've gone away from that. You see a lot of the young guys smoking now, you know, because now, and they want to act like they want to feel different. You know, they want to be around people that are different.
That's so true. Is I think the classic profile of somebody smoking a cigar is that guy that you just described, but now it's more accepted and done. How did that happen? Like, was that social media? Was that you with the events thing, with the DJ collabs?
Social media.
But like, how did that start?
I think it's just the trend started back in 2019, like around the time that I started. It wasn't even a boom yet in 2019. And here I come, I started promoting artists, parties for artists. So now, you know, on that flyer will be my logo on it. So you'll usually never see a cigar company on that flyer. I mean, not in my culture. So that's what I started that trend where now we have t-shirts with that are, yeah, it's a cigar company, but look at that dope t-shirt, you know, look at that hat, look at, you know what I'm saying? It's more like into modernize, you know, modernize it for the modern consumer, you know, for people that are, want to get away from like the hookah or, you know, want to get away from the vape. So now you make a cigar that has more smoke output. You know, a cigar that's a little lighter, that way they can handle it. You know, they look like they're, you know, up, you know, higher class. It looks like you're upper class. You know, it gives you a different status automatically in somebody's mind. And that's the way I viewed it when I was a kid, when I was younger. I was like, oh, you know, that guy smokes cigars. It must be, you know, that's the guy that'd be smoking that fine whiskey and stuff like that. So, and that's the way that I market it. You know, I market it as at a high standard when it comes to my product and myself, obviously.
Because it's so true. Because I think when I was growing up, like smoking was kind of that thing. It had its time. And then the schools came in, the packaging changed with the smoking kill. Like a lot of that died out. And then it was drinking and then the vapes, the hookah. Like those are all sort of subcultures within the, I guess you would call, I don't know what category this would all sort of go into or be termed, but what would be the next thing, would you say?
I don't think the cigar world is going to go anywhere because it's been here for a really long time. I don't think the tobacco itself, like the cigar, is going to be, the only thing is we can change is just the stuff around it, right? You know, like the accessories or the way we market it. But I don't think the product itself is going to be, because it's a traditional product. I don't think that the product itself is going to be having something different to it. Now, what could come out as, I don't know. I mean, now they have electronic hookahs. So now they have, you know, obviously everybody's legalizing marijuana. I have a product for marijuana also, which is a leaf. It's just to roll the marijuana in. now that we have a different packaging. Packaging is a little interesting. We haven't brought it out yet, but our packaging is just, like I said, it's just the way that you market is probably most likely going to change. But cigars have been the same for the longest. It's different leaves put together.
What's your take in building the cigar community?
I think everything is personalized, right? Like personal interactions is the first things that is the biggest thing for me. So there are certain things like the personalized stuff, like the boxes that I have here that I like to handle myself. It's not something that I want you to send me an email and just say, hey, Fred, I want you to do this for me. I want to hear you. I want to see what you want. I want that interaction. Now, do I have people that can do that for me? Yes. But I like to do it myself because that's a little bit more me. And I like the design part. So that's my biggest thing. But I think if you're starting out a new cigar company, the biggest thing is having that personal interaction, you know, one-on-one interactions and meeting your people, you know, and just being genuine. That's it. Just being you. And you'll follow through with that. People will realize that you're genuine.
Do you think you've built up a very strong Latinx type of community around? Or how do you infuse that part of your culture or heritage into your product or your customers?
Me, I support Latin, like for example, artists or events. I sponsor events. It works out a lot, you know, works out very well by you sponsoring your community. You know, in Dominican Republic, for example, there's the main highway. There was no signs in certain areas where I'm from. And I donated the signs to them with my logo on top. So, you know, there's certain ways that I try to connect with the people and keep that knit, you know, letting them know, hey, I'm here. And I wish I could do more, but obviously, you know, it's a work in progress.
You grew up in DR.
I was born there.
What age were you when you went to New Jersey?
I came here when I was like 7.
But your brand is more geared for Americans, or is your brand well-known in DR?
Well, my brand is in the Dominican Republic. I have stores that have them. And like I said, we have highways that have our brand along the highway. So you can see where you're going. You know, if you know, somebody tells you, oh, there's a sign there of this city, turn there. That logo that you just saw is up there. So I'm more inclined to being here. There's a lot of tobacco in Dominican Republic. So my thing is here.
Your grandfather was in public service in DR. What is his story?
He was a sheriff for about, I think it was 14, 16 years. He was very well respected. So eventually I want to name the street. I'm going to get together with the mayor down there and name the street where we have our house on after him. And, you know, everything ran pretty smoothly. So my understanding, when I asked the people down there about him, everybody used to respect him very much. So he was very loved down there in the community. And he was a hard worker. He used to cultivate, you know, and used to be a farmer.
Is your family also there?
My grandmother's there. Part of my family's there. Most of my family is here. My mother actually lives down there now. She moved back. So like I said, I'm there once or twice a month. So I always go see grandma. I always go see my mother. So, you know, my wife lives down there. She comes and goes.
That's kind of similar to me, where a lot of my family in China and I sort of split time between here and the U.S.
I got to take a trip to China, by the way.
Yeah, with all the accessories that you're building with factories, I'm assuming they're made in China if you're finding it on Alibaba. You're planning to visit their factories.
I will eventually, you know, hopefully I can get a bigger production of the stuff that I'm doing and try to go down there and design some stuff, you know, with them and see how I can help them with my ideas.
China historically does not have a history of drinking a lot of hard liquor, but over these past couple of years, it's really gone into double or even sometimes triple digit growth from an e-commerce perspective. I think cigars is one of those things that I think a lot of the things that you said with just the positioning, like who traditionally consumes it, that vibe, that type of demographic. And also Cuba as a country. And so I think more and more Chinese people are getting to know at least Cuban culture. And then that's where the cigars will have a slice. And so if you look at cigars as a market for Chinese consumers.
The thing is, a lot of countries aren't very well educated on the subject of tobacco, right? It's not just the big brands that have a quality cigar. Most of the time, big brands have less quality cigars than little cigar companies because of the demand. So the small companies like myself, we pay a lot of attention to the details, the small details. It's very easy for the details to escape a big company. There are a lot more cigars than just Cubans. There are Nicaraguan cigars. There's Honduran cigars that are really good. And, you know, when people just mention to me Cubans, it kind of tells me, when their knowledge about the products. Dominican Republic is the capital of tobacco of the world. In one town, which is Tamboril, there's like 5,000 plus factories of tobacco. One town, from formal to informal. So, you know, Dominican Republic has it down to the T in the science of the tobacco. We farm the land from the farm to your hand like this.
What piece of advice would you have for somebody who's wanting to start their own e-commerce brand?
It's not the easiest thing, right? Especially you have to get a lot of awareness. You just got to make noise. For example, I sell to cigar lounges. The cigar lounges, if I'm not making noise, if they at least haven't heard or seen something from someone, they're not going to pay attention. So you have to make your noise, and you have to make a lot of noise for people to, you know, to bring awareness to your consumers. Whether, you know, you start at your local restaurant, they have people tag you and they get to weigh, you know, and start expanding. It's just whatever you feel comfortable with, I guess, the way, because a lot of people don't really know marketing, right? Like to me, I didn't study marketing.
How are you making noise to the cigar lounges?
You get in magazines. You get in with guys that have a large following. You get into podcasts. So it works like that. You know, you send them a product, you know, you send them, hey, say, hey, I sent you something. You talk to the owners, you know, you show them the website, like you saw the website or you were reading off the website. You send them to Instagram. If you see my Instagram, I put content in there to make noise.
Is Steve Harvey going to be using it?
Hopefully.
But you've made it and then you're sending it to him.
I've made it, yeah. So what I'm going to do, I was actually thinking of going on Instagram and putting a video. They say, hey, whoever tags Steve Harvey the most, and then at the end, whoever he pays attention to that, you know, actually catches his eye, I'm going to be making one of these for free for you.
On this podcast, we interviewed another entrepreneur who was discovered by, I think, Cardi B. She sold this shampoo mat. And I think she was posting on socials when and somehow somebody tagged her or something. And then that's when her product got into celebrity circles. And so I guess the lesson here is just, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, when they first start, they think that these big names are so far away from them. Like they don't have the right contacts, but it's actually a lot closer than you think.
We've reached close to like Roc Nation. We've had, you know, like Roc Nation and Jay-Z, like OG1. He actually has one of my products. He's had my cigars. He smoked my cigars. And we have a lot of baseball players.
How did you broker that?
Somebody that knew. So we have baseball players. And then we just, hey, you know, we just send them some cigars.
Because nobody's going to say no to some nice cigars that's from the capital of the tobacco industry.
Exactly.
What are your next goals with the company?
I want to become more international. I want to expand to Europe. The Ali Cigar Company, for example, on Instagram, we'll promote you. We'll put your brand on there. If I'm smoking one of your cigars, we'll put it on Ali Cigar Company. So if you look up Ali Cigar Company, you'll see some of the brands that we do, and we'll post them.
When you look to Europe and doing that expansion, like, do you have a go-to country you think that would be easiest or easier to land or get into? Or like, how would you look at that to Europe specifically? Like, what would your strategy be to expand there?
Because I have a few clients up there. So what I do is they say, hey, can you guys get together and go to a cigar lounge or some guy that's a broker and say, hey, pay attention to this. You know, this is what we smoke. Can you bring it here? And, you know, how can you, you know, and that's the way that I do it. If you want my stuff, just approach a lounge. Say, hey, how can we get this here? You know, because I don't have anybody. I didn't start with anybody. I was never a rep. You know, most of these guys come from the business. You know, they're reps and they know somebody. Somebody knows somebody. And I had to work 4 to 5 times harder because I didn't know anybody.
Any last words of advice for young entrepreneurs who want to draw inspiration from your journey?
Just because something might not be going right at the beginning. Beginnings are the hardest. You might be feeling like you're hopeless. You might be feeling like, oh man, nobody's paying attention to me. You just never know who you might reach out to. It might be that spark that you need in your business. And me, it was just, like I said, I just kept going. I just started, you know, thinking outside the box. So just think outside the box. Don't go with what everybody else does. Is common things are common things. Try to do something uncommon. Catch your attention and just keep working at it. That's my advice.
Okay. I mean, I can see all of that reverberating through like your logo, the crown chicken, the comics, the sponsoring of events. I think a lot of your philosophy is executed through those sort of small things that you've done for your brand. Thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. And sharing about your whole story.
I appreciate your time and thank you very much. Hopefully we can do it again.
B2B Breakthrough is produced by Alibaba.com. To find out how Alibaba.com is empowering its customers with the tools, services, and resources they need to grow their businesses, visit Alibaba.com. And then make sure to search for B2B Breakthrough Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure to follow us so you don't miss future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Alibaba.com, thanks for listening.